Excited about next week's message. Next week we're going to be talking about a couple of powerful New Testament concepts called grace and peace. Of course, there's nothing, the Old Testament talks about some of that, so it's not brand new, but it is so emphasized in our time, and in the New Testament time. We'll be talking about how that really helps us grow in the Lord and get upgraded and experience Him. But today we're talking about accommodating upgrades. We've been working on this series, this is number 7. We've been working on you and I figuring out that God is so interested in advancing us, upgrading us, moving us forward. He's so interested in sharing information with us and sharing His power with us and sharing resources with us. He's really interested in you and I connecting with our destiny, our calling, why we're on the planet. Do you know that you're on the planet for a reason? You're not just sucking oxygen. You're here for a reason. And God designed you wonderfully and perfectly, and He has gifted you for a reason. And connecting to that should be your life mission, really should be your life goal. It sounds complicated, but it's not really that complicated. And hopefully through this series and through some other things that we do, you'll be able to connect with that. Accommodating. You hear that phrase quite a bit. They are so accommodating. They're so helpful. And the church should be a place that accommodates your upgrades. The church should be a place that accommodates you and God connecting, you having encounters with God. Last week we talked about wilderness breakthroughs. We've talked 3 weeks about wilderness stuff and how that in the wilderness, God intends to upgrade us and encounter with us and strengthen us and bring us out of the wilderness into victory and into some new understandings and some new places in Him. So the wilderness isn't a horrible place, and hopefully in the last 3 weeks you've learned that and have thought about that a little bit. This week, though, we're talking about how does God, how does the church, how do you and I create an environment, create structure, create some intentionality where we get upgraded, we mature, we grow, we're strengthened. How's that supposed to be happening? And it should be intentional, and it should be something that we're understanding and we're walking through. Accommodating is this adjective, and there's some old words like obliging. And I remember when I was a kid, they used to use that word, I'm obliged, thank you. It's like, I'm happy to help. I'm glad to be of service. Cooperative. I'm cooperating with God and you so that we can get our upgrades. The church should be cooperative. We should be cooperating with God and you so that you can get that encounter, that upgrade, that experience that you need to get the breakthrough, to get the next word from God, the next experience with God that moves you forward. Last week we talked about life should be a series of breakthroughs, a series of encounters, a series of revelations that just continues to move you and I forward in our destiny, in our purpose, and in our calling. So accommodating also means just being helpful, eager to help, adaptable, considerate, unselfish, inclusionary, generous, willing, compliant, kindly, hospitable, neighborly, friendly, pleasant, agreeable. We should all be believing in each other, supporting each other for this thing that we're calling an upgrade, this next step in our life with God. God has steps that He wants you and I to take. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God has steps, destiny, for you to take. Life is not a series of coincidences that may or may not work out. God's so intentional. Last week we talked about how intentional God is, how very specific he is, how planned he is, how organized he is. He has next steps for you and I. And the church is designed to accommodate that. The Life Center, we want to be a church that accommodates that. But as an individual, you and I should be individuals that accommodate one another's upgrades, one another's growth in God. We should be individuals that accomplish that. So church and ministry are designed to accommodate upgrades in all areas of life. When we commit ourselves to being the church of Jesus Christ, when we commit ourselves to ministry in his name, then we become people who receive upgrades, and we become people who accommodate upgrades in others around us. So committing yourself to Jesus Christ, committing yourself to ministry. We'll talk a lot more about that today. We're going to talk a lot about ministry today. What is ministry? Is it a mysterious churchy word, or what is ministry? What is ministry? Hopefully by the end of the day we'll understand it a little bit better. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, and the New Living Translation is what we're going to read that out of today. Paul is writing to this church at Ephesus, but it's also to us today. He says, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord," he was actually in jail when he's writing this, "I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." I just beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. Are you living your life worthy of your calling? Well, I don't know what that even means. You are called by God. God has a lot of intentionality and purpose in your life. You and I should live up to that. Live up to that, right? If we're not careful, we live out and down, but he wants us to live up to our calling. Well, I'm a parent. Well, that's part of your calling. I'm an uncle, an aunt. That's probably part of your calling. Whatever your profession is, probably a part of your calling. There's other things, though, that are very specific that are connected to the mission of Jesus Christ and his church, to ministry. That's part of your calling. And he's encouraging us to live up to that. Look at somebody and say, live up. Live up to that. Always be humble and gentle. That's a good word right there, huh? Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. We're talking about accommodating each other and our upgrades and our destiny and our future and our ministries with each other. Accommodating that. Be humble, be gentle, be patient. Make allowances for each other's faults because of your love. I'm going to make allowances for your faults because I love you. I don't know if you all know it or not, but I love you. Because I love you, I will make allowances for your faults. You don't have very many, probably. But you should make allowances for one another's faults because you love. We talked a little bit about that in our marriage events. Make every effort to keep yourself united in spirit. Sounds like being connected. Make every effort to stay connected with each other. Binding yourselves together with peace. If we're not careful, we can find lots of reasons to divide, to separate. But this is talking about our ministry and our calling and accommodating upgrades and accommodating purpose of God. And make every effort to keep yourselves united in spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope of the future. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who's over all and in all and living through you all. There's only one. There's only one. And we're all united in Jesus Christ. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. And that is why the scriptures say, do you know that you have a special gift? So we're talking about ministry. We're talking about accommodating upgrades for each other. Not just for those of us that are in the building today, but for the hundreds and thousands of other people that we should be helping, gathering, loving, connecting with. You have a special gift. Jesus has generously given you this gift. The scriptures say when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and he gave gifts to his people. You are not without gifts. You are not without anointings. You are not without callings. You are not without purpose or destiny. In fact, your life is full of purpose and calling and anointing and destiny. It's just up to us to accommodate that in each other. Uncover that. Help each other discover that. Create an environment where we can all pursue that with each other. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Man, Jesus fills it all. If you got Jesus, you got everything. Now, these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. Apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Those are called the fivefold ministry gifts. Those are called the ascension gifts sometimes. When you're reading and you're studying theology, those are called the ascension gifts. When Jesus ascended back up into heaven, he gave gifts to the church. And the gifts are those five, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher. Those five things are gifts. And so what did he give the gifts for? Now there's another list of gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 or 14. I didn't look it up recently, but it's in one of those chapters. There's another list, and there's a couple lists of extra gifts and other gifts that God gives. But these are the fivefold gifts, the ascension gifts. Their responsibility, these are like the leaders of the church world. And the leaders of the church world have a responsibility. And that responsibility is this: to equip God's people to do his work, to build up the church, the body of Christ. So the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, and the teacher are all designed to build up the body of Christ, to train and teach the body of Christ. Train and teach them what? What their ministry is, what their callings are, what their giftings are, so that we all can accommodate the mission of God, the work of God, the upgrade. So I'm not sure I'm interested in all of that. I just wanted a little relief. How do you spell relief? That's what I'm in church for. R-O-L-A-I-D-S. Give me some of that. You know, the cool thing is that when you plug into Jesus and purpose and destiny, you're going to get all the relief you can handle. You're going to get freedom like you've never had before. You're going to be filled with purpose and contentment and peace and joy. And the resources of God will flood your life in such an amazing way. Or you can just keep bouncing around looking for a little relief. That's an old commercial, huh? R-O-L-A-I-D-S. Some of the young people are going, what does that have to do with relief? That was just an old commercial for heartburn. That's all it was. Trying to get you to buy Rolaids. That's all it was. How many of us would like to take an offering for the Y Project right now? Them kids are noisy up there. Can we have the ushers? No, just kidding. The quicker we can get them over there. I think Kari's being noisy up there on purpose. She probably has the kids in the other section, and she's just rattling chairs and tables up there. I don't know. Verse 13 says, "This will continue until we all come into such a unity of our faith, the knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full, complete standard of Christ." Does that sound like discipleship? Like we're working on discipleship, right? We've been like almost a year of looking and focusing and working and really intensely for 6-8 months right now, just working on discipleship. And really the church is designed to accommodate upgrades and growth and maturity and you and I plugging into what ministry is and what the mission is. God wants us united. He wants our faith strong. He wants us mature. He wants us measuring up to the full, complete standard of Christ. I don't know about you, but I don't think I'm there yet. The full, complete, everything God wants for me, everything I'm supposed to be. I'm not there yet. I need an upgrade. Jesus, help me. I need an upgrade. The church is really designed to accommodate those upgrades. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We won't be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. When you and I submit ourselves, bring ourselves under ministry, those five gifts of ministry and other ministry, God's trying to use that to grow us, mature us, teach us, instruct us. There's deceptions out there, right? Right? Do you know you have an enemy? His name's Satan. Have anybody been reading Revelation with us? What's today, day 15? So we're reading Revelation chapter 15 today. Yesterday was kind of a freaky day, wasn't it? The beast shows up, you know, and the mark of the beast and all that crazy stuff that's going to happen in the future. Today, in our Bible reading, we saw a group of people that had victory over the beast, over the Antichrist, over his mark, over his dominance of the world in his day. It hasn't happened yet. That's in the future sometime. Some people think it's tomorrow or really soon. Other people think it's way out there. We don't really know. It could happen really soon. The technology's here. Lots of stuff are in place for it, right? I mean, people thought when Hitler showed up, that was it. He was the Antichrist. And there's been generations and generations that thought the Antichrist showed up. I picked on the president last week, so I'm not going to do that this week. But, you know, some people think I'm the Antichrist. I don't know. Or you, maybe. That's going to happen out there someday. And if we're not careful, we can be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, with every idea, with every deceptive teaching. We can be convinced and moved away from the truth. But it's really the jobs of the apostles, the pastors, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists to help us stay rooted and grounded and centered and then keep maturing and growing. We don't want to be children bouncing off of this idea and bouncing off of that idea and being deceived, like verse 14 said. Verse 15 said, "Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ." Does that sound like upgrade to you? Does that sound like accommodating, maturing, growing, and upgrading? "We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes his whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow." Does that sound like accommodating? If you and I could figure out what our special part was, and we do it together, then we could help all the other parts grow. So they could do their part too, and then we all would be what? The whole body would be healthy and growing and full of love. Hallelujah. That sounds like heaven almost, doesn't it? The whole body would be healthy, growing, and full of love. I want those three things right there. I want a healthy body. I want our body to grow. And I want our body to be full of love. I do. Accommodating upgrades. So the church and the ministries inside the church are designed to accommodate an upgrade. You're going to get tired of me saying those two words today, probably. Accommodating upgrades. Hopefully when you leave, what did the pastor talk about? I understood accommodating upgrades, but that beast thing freaked me out. I don't know what you're going to say, you know. In our annual business meeting today, I'm going to talk about the mission and vision of our church and where we're going and what we're doing and why we're doing it. And we need to talk about that a lot. Keep talking about it. In our Sunday morning class, we're studying about how to change the culture of our church to be more disciple-making. We're studying that and trying to work out action plans and those sorts of things on Sunday morning. And there's a group of us back there just cranking it out, doing our daily homework, you know, thinking hard, getting headaches, you taking Tylenol, you know, and all of that kind of stuff, just trying to figure that stuff out. And so we learned that you really got to keep the mission and vision clear. You got to keep the mission, the why. You got to keep the why right out there in front a lot. So we'll be talking about that later today. So if you can, hang around. Maybe we can take that offering now. It's not like there's a herd of elephants up there. I'm going to talk to Kari when we get home. It won't help, but I'll talk to her. The rest of this message, I want to talk about the 15 values of the Life Center. Because our values are designed to accommodate you and your growth in Jesus Christ. You're connecting to Him. You're figuring out what you're on the planet for and plugging into His mission, plugging into His calling that's upon your life and upon our life as a body of believers. The kind of church that we see. Number one, a church that loves God. Number one value. Around here, if you hang around us, you're going to see it. It's on the sign, it's on the wall, it's in the bulletin, it's everywhere you look. Loving God passionately and loving others purposefully. They asked Jesus, what's the two great commandments? He said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two big ones. If you guys will do those two, everything else is cake. Everything else is easy. So loving God, number one value. What does loving God look like? It looks like you showing up to church on Sunday. That's what it looks like. Well, then that's loving church. Church is God. God is church. Really? Yeah, really. You know that He calls the church His bride? The bride. Brides are pretty important, aren't they? Brides are pretty important. You know, I love you guys a lot, but if you start talking bad about my bride, we're going to have a problem, you and me, because I love her. She's awesome. The church is God's bride. You start talking bad about the church, I don't think He likes that. I don't think He likes that very well. What does loving God look like? Loving God looks like loving the church. It looks like reading your Bible and listening. It looks like prayer. It looks like connecting with Him, not just on Sundays, but on Mondays and Tuesdays and every other day that ends with a Y. Some of you are going, here's what I know about loving God. It is highly motivating for other people when they see us loving God. We are imperfect, for sure. But if we know each other loves God, that takes a lot of pressure off. It is so encouraging and motivating to see people loving God. You know what the world needs to see? The people that don't believe in God, they need to see you loving God. They need to see me loving God. With all of our heart, with all of our soul, we're getting a little ringing there, Kirsten. With all of our mind, with all of our strength, that's how you're supposed to love God. Not just on Valentine's Day, get him a little box of chocolate. Loving with all. Well, I kind of, you know, have this little God room in my life, and I give him a little bit of something every once in a while. I throw him a bone every once in a while, you know. Throw him a bone. No, it is so beautiful when you and I show the world we love God. When you bow your head and pray in a restaurant to honor your God, the one who loves you, the one who died on a cross for you, it is so honoring. People go, there's a family that loves God. Because it's not hugely popular, it's not hugely practiced, but if you can stop while your french fries are getting cold and put God first and thank him, that's really attractive to people. I think God likes it too. Loving God. The second one's loving people. What does loving people look like? I've been thinking about the parable of the sheep and the goats lately. Anybody remember reading the parable of the sheep and the goats in the New Testament? Yeah. It's kind of crazy, but it's the end of time, and God's dividing the good from the bad, the saved from the unsaved. And it's so interesting on what he uses to determine who gets to go in which group. He divides the sheep from the goats. In case you don't know, you want to be in the sheep, not the goat, in case you don't know. And he looks at those who he calls the sheep group, and he says, well done. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was sick and in prison, you came and visited me. When I was naked, you clothed me. And they all looked at Jesus and they go, we never ever saw you hungry, thirsty, in prison, sick, lonely, naked. We've never seen you that way. We've never ever done that to you. But Jesus said, but when you did that to the least of these in your generation, in your world, in your community, you did it to me. That's the heart of loving others. Around here we say it, loving others purposefully. Loving hands is so awesome because we clothe some naked folks. The food banks, we feed some hungry people. I don't know if you ever go to jail or prison and visit folks, but you ought to. Not just Uncle Fred, but other people too. The lonely that are just trapped and can't get out and are homebound. You know who the goats were? They were the people that said, I'm too busy. They all suck anyway. They deserve to be poor. They deserve to be hungry. They deserve to be thirsty. They deserve to be naked, wearing the old Walmart clothes or whatever. They deserve it. Why? I don't know. They got bad families. They don't work. They're just bad people. They deserve it. Why would I ever want to help them? You know what God says to that? You're a goat. I know that's tough for North Idahoans, isn't it? What do you mean I'm a goat? He said, you should love people. You should love people that have needs. You should help people. And that's how he divides up the population of who gets to go to heaven, who gets to go to hell. Now, it's not just that, right? We know there's lots of other Bible verses. We know that you got to believe in Jesus Christ. We baptized 5 people today. You got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You got to believe that he died on a cross for you. He was buried for you. He rose again 3 days later for you. You got to believe that. You got to say, God, I repent of all of my sin. Please wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ. You got to say that. You got to believe that. And then if you say it and believe it, you got to act on it. These aren't just magic words. You rub the lamp and get 3 wishes. No, if you believe it, you're going to do something about it. And that's why Jesus says, the real believers, they serve other people. They love other people. They bless other people. They accommodate other people. The real believers do that. The next one's, well, I could get hung up on some of this stuff. How much time you guys got, anyway? Is that food getting cold? The next one's loving diversity. We've talked a lot about that lately. You need diversity in your life to be healthy and whole. You're supposed to eat all the different food groups, right? You can get scurvy if you don't eat your fruit. There can bad things happen to you if you just ignore some food groups. You need diversity. You need diversity. When you're working out, you're supposed to have leg day and arm day and cardio day, and you're supposed to work it all out. You know what I'm talking about? I loved when I was a logger, because you never see loggers exercising at night after work. We worked it all out all day long. We wanted to sit down for a minute. I should exercise more now, though. Help me, Jesus. But we need diversity of people around us, too. If you're going to accommodate upgrades, if the church is going to accommodate upgrades, we got to love all kinds of people with all kinds of gifts, with all kinds of ideas, with all kinds of quirkiness, with all kinds of passions. We don't all have to be the same. We're not all supposed to be the same. Do you know that the apostle is quite a bit different than the prophet, who's quite a bit different than the pastor, who's quite a bit different than the teacher, who's a whole lot different than the evangelist? And you know that in the church world, if we're not careful, we pick on one of our favorite 5. Like, I just love the evangelist gift. Because if you're not out there saving people, if you're not out there Saturday soul winning, if you're not out there serious about winning people to Christ, you're probably not even saved. That's what the evangelist people talk about, right? The pastoral people. You got to be nice. What's the matter with you? If you're not nice, you're not even saved. You got to care. You got to comfort. You got to soothe. Those prophets, I don't even think they're saved. They're mean. Those evangelists, they just want to bag them and tag them. They don't really care about helping them. And if we're not careful, we start picking on all the different gifts. Those apostles, they think they're that and a bag of chips, you know. And if you're not careful, you can pick on all of the gifts because you prefer 1 or 2. There's probably a couple you don't even like. But you need diversity because it's those verses we read. It's those 5 that work together for the perfecting of the saints and the edifying of the body. It's those things. Loving diversity. We around here, you can be anybody and fit in here. We love you. We want you around us. We really do. You can be old or young. You can be tall or short. You can be a Republican or a Democrat. You can be a blonde or a brunette or a redhead or dyed all 3. We don't care. We don't care. You can be of any race. It doesn't matter. We love diversity. Are we challenged on that? Oh, yes. Because we all have our preferences and our comfort zones, but we love diversity. The next one's a friend to the destiny of others. One of the values at the Life Center, we want to be a friend to your destiny. This whole message is kind of about that. We want, that's accommodation at its finest. We want to support your future. We believe you have a future. We believe you have an amazing future, and we want to support that. We want to see you healed up from anything that's bugged you in the past. We want to see you getting strong and moving forward in what you're supposed to be, who you're supposed to be. Graham Cook says, God is not present past, but God is present future. Sometimes in the church, if we're not careful, we're present past focused. Like, you used to be that, you came from that, you currently are that. And I know what your history is, and I know what you currently are, so then we can really pick on each other. But God is present future oriented. God is saying, I know where you are today, and I know everything that's going on, but I have an amazing future for you. Will you follow me? Will you let me upgrade you? Will you let me mature you and grow you and heal you and advance you? Because God is so present future oriented. The next one's making room in our lives for new people. Taking time, making time, spending time, investing time upgrades people. The next one is, we are known for acts of kindness. Acts of kindness. Thoughts of kindness don't count. Acts of kindness count. There's a big difference between a thought and an action, right? The difference between death row and being out in freedom. If they would have prosecuted me for my thoughts, I'd be in big trouble. There's a big difference between thoughts and actions. And it's true on the other end of the spectrum, too. Well, I thought about connecting to my future. I thought about getting upgraded. I thought about accommodating other people for their upgrade. I thought about being kind. But we want to be known for our acts of kindness. The next one ministers well to people of all ages. We like everybody. We want to minister well to everybody. We want our children really taken care of well. We want our senior citizens really taken care of well. We want everybody in between taken care of well. Are we great at all 15 of these? No. But they are our values. They are what we're moving towards. They are things that we're serious about. They are things that we're working on. The youngest people with the newest ideas and the oldest people with the most experience are all critical and important for us accommodating upgrades. We need all of that. The next one is people that love to pray. Around here we say, people that are prayed for do better. The other side of that coin is people that pray do better too. So it's not just praying for somebody that helps, accommodates upgrades. How many of you have ever experienced an upgrade as somebody was praying for you? Man, I have lots of them. How many of you have ever experienced an upgrade when you were praying for somebody else? I've done that one too. It's like I'm just engaged in intercession for somebody, and all of a sudden God blesses me and helps me and reveals something to me, and I'm just interceding for somebody else. We want to be a church that loves to pray. The next one is a life-giving church. On our signs out on the post, it says, making life better. We really want to be a life-giving church. We want you to walk away from here feeling like you're better because of being around here. We want you to feel like we've connected you with God, which is what makes you better. We've connected you with the Holy Spirit, which is what makes you better. We want to be life-giving. Next one, a church that's full of good works that glorifies God. And I love that verse. Let your works so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine among men. We want to be a church that's full of good works. See, all of this is talking about accommodating something, being helpful for something. There's a time in life when we're a consumer, when we're the one that is having the crisis and the need. We're the one that needs healed. We're the one that needs a lot of help. But eventually, we want all of us to be upgraded to the point to where we're contributors and not just consumers. So where we can accommodate upgrades for others. We can fulfill our ministries and our callings. Works to eliminate loneliness in the Upper Clearwater region. God said it's not good for people to be alone. Man, we got a long ways to go on that one, but we really think that together we're better, and we seek to connect with people. A church that loves to do things with passion and excellence. That sounds like an upgrade, doesn't it? Excellence. I'm going to do the best I can today, but when I walk away from this service today, I want to be thinking about, God, what could have I done better? What could have I upgraded? How could we do that better? Around here, we call it progressive excellence. We want to be that kind of a church. We want to be that kind of people. A church that has big faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's Hebrews chapter 1, and it says, you must believe, or chapter 11, sorry, you must believe that He is, and what? He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder. Big faith. God is, He exists, and He is involved. He's a rewarder. Someone who has big faith. Next one, I got two left. A church that's generous with our time, our talents, and our treasures. If you're stingy, you'll never get an upgrade. Several weeks ago, we talked about we need upgrades in our phones and upgrades in our automobiles and upgrades in our computers, and we need upgrades, but some of us are so cheap that we don't want to pay for an upgrade. We're just going, I'm going to milk this one a little further. I can get a little more life out of that rotary dial phone. I got this old cell phone. Hello? You know, I can get a little life out of that bag phone, you know. But no, we're looking for upgrades. That old car don't get you there anymore. They put away cross-cut saws a long time ago. Now they put them on walls as decorations. We've got things that go, and the chain goes around really fast. It's, upgrades are really cool. Ladies, isn't it awesome to not have to build a fire in the cook stove before you cook something? Isn't it great just to open a door, stick it in there, and go 66 seconds and beep? Isn't that cool? Yeah. Isn't it great to not have to go saddle up the horse when you want to go to town? Upgrades are awesome. In your spiritual life, God wants you to get some upgrades. And our church and us as individuals need to be people that accommodate upgrades in people's life. And that last one is a church that's taking its place in the world and fulfilling its destiny. God has a calling on every church body. God has a calling on us, and we need to take our place. What does God want us to do? What's our piece? We're part of the body. We're not the body. We're just part of the body. What's our piece of that? And fulfill that. Do that. Do it well. A couple things and I'll let you go. Church is a catalyst for people to receive from God. We should be a catalyst. You should come here and walk away connected with God, and ready to engage Him even more. We don't always accomplish that, but that's what we want to accomplish. We are the body of Christ. We are designed to minister to each other's needs. We're designed to mature. We're designed to grow. We are designed to make disciples of all nations. We're designed to do that. The church is. We're designed for that. We are called and designed to accommodate upgrades in others' lives. I'm supposed to help you get an upgrade, and you're supposed to help me get an upgrade. We're supposed to help each other. The Life Center is not called to degrade, but to upgrade. And you know, you individually, you are not called to degrade each other. You're called to upgrade each other. You know, we have a tendency to live up to or down to whatever people are speaking into our life. Let's call each other up. Let's call each other up to our destiny and our callings and our ministries. Let's call each other up. I know I'm not up as high as I need to be yet, but I want to get there. And I know that you are the same way. You're not up as high as you need to be yet, but I want to call you up. I believe in you. Let's go up. We can do it. Let's go up together. Let's create a church that accommodates you and I moving up, moving up, hearing from God, encountering God, and moving up. Sometimes correction and reproof is a part of that, but the end goal still has to be moving forward. My mom and dad, they corrected me the couple times I got out of line when I was a kid. Yeah. I remember Dad whipping me with a coffee pot cord one time. Now that's abuse. Is CPS in the building? And I was just being a normal little boy throwing rocks at police cars. That's all I was doing. And the policeman delivered me to the front door, knocked. Sir, is this your son? I don't know why I got a whipping for that. But you know what that whipping was designed to do? Move me up. It did. I got a little higher several times. I do not recommend you whip your kids with coffee pot cords. They will arrest you. They will arrest you. That's just a Pierce thing. Don't worry about it. Discipline is important, but it needs to be designed to move us up, not tear us down. Let's accommodate upgrades in each other's lives. Let's do that. Figure out what your calling is, your gifts are, what you're supposed to do with them. Let's blend them and become an amazing church. Amen? Amen. God, thank you today for your people. Bless them. God, your gifts are beautiful in each one of us. We honor and celebrate that. Lord, perfect those things, grow those things, mature those things. And help us at the Life Center create a church that accommodates calling people up, moving people up, people experiencing you, connecting you, encountering with you, and with each other more and more and more. Lord, I thank you for that. Amen. Hey, get your Connect cards out today.